Will you pray with me, please? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shortly after midnight, in the wee hours of May 12, 2011, I found myself sitting on a plastic chair staring at a door. On the other side of that door, my wife Amy was being tended by a whole team of doctors and nurses as she prepared to deliver our twin boys, and I was sitting there waiting for someone to find scrubs that would fit my large frame so I could go through that door and sit by her side. I don't know if it registered with me at the time, but looking back now, I see that door represented a significant threshold in my life. That door represented a boundary. Metaphorically, it marked a time in my life from what had been and what was yet to be. And I don't know if I had this thought at the time, but I knew that once I walked through that door, no matter what happened next, my life would never be the same again. And life is full of those kinds of threshold moments, isn't it? It's full of points we come to in life, to markers that delineate what came before and what will come after. Moments, when we get to those kind of moments, it often causes us to pause and to reflect upon the journey that has been and wonder about where we might go. And when we come to our story this morning, we find the people of God standing at just such a place. This fall, we have been reading and preaching our way through the Hebrew Scriptures. Sometimes we call it the Old Testament. We aren't going verse by verse or even book by book, but we are following the broad arc of the story of God and God's people as told by our ancestors in faith. And so when we meet the people of God in our story today, they've been through some things. They have lived as slaves in Egypt for centuries. They have endured a terrifying escape from Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's chariots nipping at their heels. They have wandered in the wilderness for decades, and they have struggled and been to war with powerful nations. And they've come to a threshold. It is move-in day. God's people are standing on the doorstep of entering into the land of promise. And the mantle of leadership of God's people has been passed from Moses to a man by the name of Joshua. And Joshua is about to send God's people to their ancestral homes. After years of hardship and struggle and wandering, the people of God are about to wander no more. But just before Joshua sends them to their home, he calls a congregational meeting. And that leads us into our story for today. It's a rather lengthy passage. I invite you to read along. It's Joshua chapter 24, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord your God, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, And the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, God put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them, and your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you, so I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I handed them over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a long congregational meeting, wasn't it? This wasn't a congregational meeting, though, about buildings and budgets and such. The subject matter of this meeting was to talk about the very identity of the people of God. So Joshua reminds the people of the journey that they have been on thus far, of everything God has done to bring them to this point. It was God who heard the cries of God's people in Egypt. It was God who struck the Egyptians with plagues and led the people out. It was God who parted the waters of the sea while the people walked through on dry land. It was God who provided in the desert. And it was God who gave them the law around which to build a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Joshua may have fit the battle of Jericho, as the song says, but it was the Lord who made the walls come a-tumbling down. So Joshua reminds them of everything that God has done, and then Joshua delivers the punchline. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling, choose whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, the point is simply this. The people are standing there. Their bags are packed. They're about to go to their ancestral home. They're about to start measuring curtains. Joshua makes a point. If you won't serve God in the wilderness, if you won't worship God in the wilderness, there's no way you're going to worship God when you get to the land of promise. Everybody serves something or someone. There was a theologian in the 20th century, still living, I believe. His name is Bob Dylan. And he said this, "You may be ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble. You might like to dance, but you're going to serve somebody." Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Or to go back a little further in time, Joshua says, choose. Choose whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My friend, perhaps you come to this place this morning finding yourself standing at a threshold of a sort. Perhaps you find yourself at a point in your life where you know that what is to come might look remarkably different from what has come before. Maybe you're starting a new job or changing even a career. Maybe you are contemplating retirement. Or maybe you are a student suffering from a disease called senioritis. Maybe you are reflecting about where you've been and wondering about what will come next. Or maybe you find yourself at a threshold in your family life. Maybe you are engaged to be married or expecting a child. Or maybe a marriage is ending. Maybe you're grieving somebody who once had a seat at your table. Maybe you're aware that you and your entire household are standing at a threshold moment, and you know that what will come will not look like what has come before. Or maybe you are becoming aware that you are drawing close to one of the ultimate thresholds in this life, the movement from this life to the life to come. Maybe you are becoming keenly aware that perhaps there are more years behind you than there are yet in front of you. Maybe tasks of daily living that were once routine and automatic have become anything but, and you sense that you are standing at a boundary marker. So my friend, if you find yourself at a threshold point this morning, I pray that you will remember who and whose you are. Remember what God has done for you. God did not bring you this far just to leave you now. God has called you. God has provided for you. God has given you the gift of God's law. God has fought and won battles for you. So as you stand at this threshold, remember who and whose you are and choose. Choose whom you will serve. I have found this to be true in my own life, and maybe you resonate with this experience. When I come to those threshold moments, that sense of, oh, something's about to change here, that seems to be a point in my life when I'm most susceptible to being distracted by other gods. That point seems to be a time in my life when I am tempted to turn away and get distracted with other things. Whatever threshold you're standing on this morning, be aware of all the false gods that compete for and demand for your attention. And don't forget that the God who created you and redeemed you and sustains you is a jealous God. Did you hear that in the text? Beware, for the Lord is a jealous God. That's really quite a mind-blowing concept, isn't it? That the God who made the stars and sets them on their courses in the heavens, the God who knows how many grains of sand there are on the shore, gets jealous over you. But it makes some sense if you think about it, because to be jealous about something means we have to care about it in the first place. I like college football. I'm a little bit jealous of what happened in Knoxville, Tennessee last night. That looked like a lot of fun. If you don't care about college football, you don't give a lick what happened in Knoxville last night. We only get jealous about things that we care about. And God, my friend, the God who made all that is, seen and unseen, gets jealous about you when you turn away and follow other gods. So choose. Choose whom you will serve. I'm mindful that in a larger sense, all of us, we're living through a threshold moment in human history. All of us are. Somebody meant to bless us, but it may have not been a blessing when they said, "May you live in interesting times." I just want to go back to the precedented times. Remember that? Just about everyone I talk to, everything I read, suggests that we are all living through this massive thing together. The whole world going through massive shifts in economics, in geopolitics. We are living, all of us, through this revolution in communications technology. When I wanted to know something as a kid, the 1986 Encyclopedia Britannica was on the shelf in the living room. My children have all the world's information ever at their fingertips. There is more computing power in the smartphone in your pocket or purse right now than what took the astronauts to the moon. Scary thought, isn't it? And as a church, we just began our third century of mission and ministry, and we're mindful, I think we are, we should be, that the next 100 years of this congregation's ministry will look markedly different from the 200 that preceded them. And if that's all true, then the choices we make today are not trivial ones. And we need to remember where we've been. Because it was God who called this church into being. It is God who has brought us together this far. It is God who has provided for us through God's incredible generosity. We are all standing in a room right now, sitting in a room. We didn't build it. Quite literally. We are all reaping fruits of plants that our ancestors in faith planted years ago, and we are sowing them now. It is God who has given us God's word around which we might remember who we are and be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. And it is God who so loves us and so loves the world that God would not withhold even God's own Son from us. So let us put away all false gods that make demands on our allegiance and attention. For our ultimate allegiance, our ultimate worship, our ultimate devotion belongs only to the Lamb of God. And as we stand here on this threshold together, we must choose. You might be ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble, you might like to dance. You're going to serve somebody. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.